Let's be clear. Okay. And the cat was a great actor at one time. I got nothing but disrespect. Wasn't he in the Lone Rangers and he played Tonto?
He was Tonto in the Lone Ranger, yes.
What is wrong with that boy?
A lot of things.
And you will hear those kinds of things discussed on Rose City Native Radio, not by me, but by Jackie and Nick Yellow Horse. I really enjoy Nick's rants when he goes off. He's so cool about it. So this boy got flavor. Speaking of flavor, the music you play, Jackie, is amazing. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to steal some of your music and play it on my show. I'm not going to do it without your permission. But I think, although this show is not listened to in a vacuum, that we as other producers need to learn from each other and learn from our culture. So, Rose City Native Radio, this is KBOO's Community Fall Membership Drive. I'm asking you to support the production vision of this show. This is a nationally produced show, and its origins, its antecedent is right here in Portland, Oregon, and we're standing on the shoulders of John Talley. Right, Jackie? Standing on his shoulders.
Yes, we are, John.
And he's
Talley.
Standing on other men's and women's shoulders, right?
I suppose so. For KBOO, he is the foundation, though, of Indian programming on KBOO. He's been doing Indian World since the 60s when KBOO started, and did it for over 30 years until his passing in 2012. So John Talley built the foundation, and we are here continuing the legacy as best we can.
Rose City Native Radios, please support it. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go to your internet, kboo.fm, and become a member or give a donation today. Thomas, he donated on the web from Northeast Portland. Margaret renewed. Elena donated. I want to thank all those individuals. To me, they're like assistant producers.
Yes,
helping
thank you.
Us create and continue to disseminate the vision, Rose City Native Radio. Jackie, I'm out.
Thank you so much. Wow. Yeah, it's a lot to absorb. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. If you have music, events, and more, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We'll see you next week, Indian Country.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Eco Film Festival. From Thursday, September 26th through Sunday, September 28th at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. The Portland Eco Film Festival showcases films about nature, the environment, outdoor pursuits, and eco-conscious living. This four-day festival features films such as The Man of the Trees, Our Trails 2, Damned to Extinction, Hike the Divide, a conversation about climate action on the Continental Divide Trail, and many, many more. Again, that's the Portland Eco Film Festival, Thursday, September 26th through Sunday, September 28th at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Individual screening times and other information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Daily Cafe, located at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue, open daily from breakfast to late lunch. Daily Cafe serves new American breakfast and lunch, along with wine spirits. Lunch was provided by Thai Pod, located at 2015 Northeast Broadway Street. Serving a full Thai cuisine menu, Thai Pod is open for lunch and dinner. Dinner was provided by Atlas Pizza, located at 710 North Killingsworth Street. Open from 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. or later every day. More information at atlaspizzapdx.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. away. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you hide them from the wedding world? Oh, mother, father, gonna take your daughter out tonight. Gonna show her my world. Oh, father, Lord, I'm bound to see her.
Sometime in 1985, Susan Baker's 7-year-old daughter came up to her and asked, "Mom, what's a virgin?" Susan's first reaction was, "Oh my gosh!" Susan looked at her friend, Tipper Gore, and exclaimed, "Her daughter brought Purple Rain, Prince's Purple Rain." Susan's friend Tipper looked devastated as she shared that she did not think it was appropriate for her then 10-year-old child to have purchased. Finally, as Susan Baker looked at the camera, she sternly said, "It only made us mad. And we knew that other people didn't know about it, so we just thought, you know, we have to do something." Thank you so much for listening to Popular Education. My name is Tammy, and with me is Mike.
Michael B. in the building. Can you hear me?
Am I here?
Yes, you are, Mike. How's it going?
Now, yeah, Michael B. in the building.
Michael B., hey, how's it going?
Popular Education.
Pop Ed, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to have told you a little bit about that story. Susan Baker, if you're not familiar with her, is going to be one of our main subjects here. We're going to be talking about the Parents Music Resource Center and its repercussion on the music industry and today as we know it. Michael, what's your thought about that?
Basically, we're talking about that thing, that censorship.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the rule that you can't say naughty words.
And the rule of what are naughty words. And so don't worry, though, FCC and everyone in the KBOO community. We aren't going to be using.
We will abide by the rule of not using naughty words on the air.
Well, there are other words to describe things that don't have to be naughty. But also, it goes back to the First Amendment, what naughty is, what naughty means. And I feel kind of naughty just saying the word naughty continuously. So I'm going to...
You're going to stop saying naughty.
So I'm going to stop saying that. But... Finally, Susan Baker gave up, and she said, you know what? We got to do something, and something they did.
In 1984, five women, including Tipper Gore, Susan Baker, Pam Howard, Nancy Thurmond, and Sally Nevesis, which I should be able to pronounce it, but I can't, they founded the Parents Music Resource Center, which was a committee designed to denounce the obscenities and violence of rock and popular music. And today, September 19th, in 1985, the PMRC, we're just going to call that the Parents Music Resource Center for short, went to court to make their point. After 2 months, the Recording Industry Association, or RIAA of America, settled and started placing the popular parental advisory stickers on new album releases. Today on Popular Education, we'll be exploring the different sides of the moral argument. We will ask, is this a form of censorship? Was this a legitimate concern in the 80s? Is the influence of music a concern for us now? Or was this the work of privileged housewives with powerful husbands with too much time and no appreciation for artistic freedom?
Ah.
Ah. But before that, we're going to be taking a dive into the membership drive that's going on right now for KBOO Community Radio.
So that's the buzz that's going on around
that's
here.
That's the buzz.
Right
if you're feeling it, if you're in the studio right now, you'd feel it. It's
like
a buzzing.
This energy. It's just all this. I'm seeing like T-shirts and hoodies and bags and skull caps.
I think they call them beanies here.
Yes. Yes, I have to adjust my language. See? Censorship. Beanie caps.
Beanie caps.
Whatever, I mean, what is a beanie?
What is a cap? Well, yeah. Never mind. No, okay. I know what a cap is. That
I mean,
more
caps go on pop, right?
Ooh.
Is that what they call it? Pop.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You know, we can get all into that. But, you know, we're just going to stick to music and angry people.
And angry people and good
don't
people.
Don't appreciate the freedom of lyrics.
Ah, but that's why people donate to KBOO, because this is where they can get to listen to programming like this and many other ones where real people, people that are from the community, local or otherwise too. We get a lot of programming from all over the world and the country of people just telling the truth that otherwise maybe the mainstream media wouldn't cover or wouldn't want you to remember, as we do here with our more historical programming. You can go on kboo.fm and hit the big, huge donate button, and we would really appreciate it. And actually, you can refer to Popular Education, which is this radio station, as the program.
This radio
you,
show.
This
radio.
Sorry, this radio. Again, my bridges radio show to kind of designate it that this is where you're listening to, or any other show that you enjoy here in this community radio programming that. You know, we bring you. It's all volunteer based, and it's all people powered. There's a very small staff, and that's where your donation goes. It's for the tiny amount of staff, but mostly for all the stuff that I won't say I break, but things get broken.
Basically,
electricity costs money, internet costs money.
It's a functioning building,
yeah.
And to maintain, keep up maintenance, to keep up appearance. We have equipment that has to be updated constantly.
Printing cartridges.
It's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
We're constantly bringing information and bringing valuable information and entertainment as well. There's tons of new programming. There's tons of DJs intertwining and new artists and live bands. So there's so much that you're contributing to by donating to KBOO.
And you can go onto kboo.fm and hit the big donate now button. It's going to be red or maroon, depending on which hue of colors you can see. And so we're going to go back to our programming, and we really appreciate it if you donate. And we will repeat some of that information later on in the program. Yeah. So going back to the 80s, which were a crazy time. I love talking about the 80s. I know I wasn't there, but it just sounds like such a crazy time to have been alive. Reagan was president.
Yeah, that time.
That time. Yeah, the Cold War was still going on.
Yeah, that time too. Yeah, I mean, like it was. It, I mean, you're saying it like it's two different things: Reagan and Cold War. It was one and the same. It's depending on who you were talking to at
that
time.
That's true. Yeah. Hip hop was starting to get real big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was giving, you know, a whole new voice, you know, to the mainstream.
That was, I believe, and I still believe, because of the route in a, and it was really an opportunity. I consider hip hop as an opportunity that a lot of artists capitalize off of, and that was a way of expression. Originally, it was a way of expression. You had graffiti, which is art, and you had rap music, which is also art, and that expression, it cultivated from a certain group, and that group expressed that through passion and through experience.
Yeah, and that experience was not heard of before, especially not in that manner, which was, I mean, you had, you know, the hip hop scene, and then you also had artists like, you know, for example, the Beastie Boys, you know, which were, you know, white dudes doing hip hop, you know, and it was just like, whoa, now there are also white folks doing this, which, you know, was just like another voice for another otherwise wouldn't have been, like, if we didn't invent hip hop, yeah, then the Beastie Boys would never have happened. I'm just gonna say, it might not be a popular opinion, but that's what I think.
I mean, it's a lot. It, when you think about times, trying times especially, and times where as we were talking about censorship and not being able to express yourself and not being able to talk and not being able to, yeah, have that same voice, mm-hmm, that everyone else has, it requires a lot of resolve.
Yeah.
And that resolve can result in a different way of creating and expressing yourself. And that's what I believe hip hop was. It was a different way for, like, you had a lot of bands during that time as well. Mm-hmm. So groups weren't just like a person going into a, yeah, studio with a synthesizer or a computer. People actually had bands
collaborating
groups together and playing instruments. And it started to branch out to the point where, okay, let's try this expression and let's try this. And it gave the opportunity for a new expression, which is rap and other forms of hip hop and expression.
And, you know, it was weird to me how the ladies at the PMRC didn't go after hip hop as much. They went mostly after, you know, metal music and rock music, which I guess was popular music at the time, although hip hop was getting big. And the 80s did bring upon the Satanic Panic, which was, you know, just where people were thinking that little kids were getting, you know,
initially
swept
I
up.
I think that it wasn't, they weren't really focusing on hip hop because at that time it was relatively new.
Yeah, I think that's also, and there it was,
they
just,
were just
metal
really
was so crazy looking, you know.
Metal had a lot of, that's when the debate was up about how much influence music had on, mm-hmm, people because of the contents of a lot of the records. And then it just incorporated, hip hop was pretty much incorporated later on,
yeah,
because of the sexual content
and the violence against women. I mean, I remember in my day seeing, like,
later
on TV,
but in the beginning,
Eminem tapes being burnt and stuff. Like, I remember that, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, them burning like tapes of different hip hop artists, which was so that, and that was like later. So this was like
that
in
was
85, which was later, like nineties. So, like I mentioned, the Satanic Panic, which went hand in hand with, like, you know, those like subliminal messages in that
playing
they had
the records
rock
backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
It was always that I always wanted to. I actually went out and bought a few rock records just to see if I can play them backwards and see what they say, see if it tells me to do something. Like,
right. Kill the ponies or something. Not that I would ever say that.
Put a worm in your teacher's apple and give it to her.
Or something.
Yeah, something evil.
And then in the 80s, it was also the first mainstream documented case of AIDS. So, you know, that was also kind of an eye-opening shock for people where otherwise there was a lot of free love and like open sexual being and having. Well, personally, when I think of the 80s, I think of fashion, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, who was also put, you know, she got some heat on for this group about her great album.
Once again, it was the high sexual activity. It was hypersexual time.
But, you know, it's, you know, we'll get to this later. But honestly, I mean, then you have the Roman, the Greeks, you have now, you know, it's like we're always, it's like this, it just so happened that I think these ladies, and we'll mention it later, they managed to get it to where it got to a Senate hearing because of the fact that their husbands were who they were. They were senators. They were, you know, Al Gore's estranged wife had a hand in this. And right before we break for our next pitch, I just wanted to finish off with talking about the 80s. We had movies like The Terminator, which was super awesome and super dystopian. Metal, hair metal, new wave, punk, they're all tunes for the young folks and the young people. Teens were listening to Prince, and even kids as young as 10 were buying the album Purple Rain.
Not to mention he had a movie.
And of course the movie. Which is like, why would you buy the album if you didn't see, like, the, did you not see the movie? Why would you buy your child the album? What would you think the, like, by the context, that's, when asked about Prince's album Purple Rain, Tipper Gore said, and I quote, "The vulgar lyrics embarrassed the both of us. At first I was stunned, but then I got mad. Millions of Americans were buying Purple Rain with no idea what to expect. Thousands of parents were giving the albums to their children, many younger than my daughter." So that was her take on it. And I guess maybe you should be a little bit more aware of the connotation of the stuff that you buy your children. But that's why you keep yourself informed. And what is a better way of staying informed than tuning into your local community radio, KBOO, and perhaps even donating a couple of shekels, a couple of bucks, a couple of euros, a couple of Gorgon spoins,
shake that piggy bank. There's something.
Don't break it.
I mean, there's something in there that you that could be valuable. Just shake it into your hand and donate what you can, what you feel that you want to contribute, help contribute to a station that is community-based, community-oriented. It's
power,
it's,
people powered.
Yeah, it's actually a staple. In this community. So I think that it's worth the investment over the years of the service that this station has provided. I think it's worth investing in.
Yeah, and you can go on to kboo.fm to donate. Hit the big old donate button. It is red or / purple or green, really, depending on what color you can see. But it does say donate now, and really appreciate it if you did. kboo.fm. You can keep us afloat with internet and lights and water and just the great things that we do here. And it's only great because it's funded by you and it's by the community. I managed to meet all of my friends here at the station, which is pretty cool because it gives you a place where like-minded people come together. You can actually see where your money is going. You can see the station if you come on by and, you know, you can like check us out. You get programming like this, popular education. You get things like Democracy Now. You get awesome like midnight to 3 a.m. shows, Rose City Radio, all the just wonky stuff. And a lot of local people come in. A lot of interesting, you know, you got bands that come in. You have, you know, people that come in. Joanne Hardesty also, you know, has a show here. So it's like really, you know, just for the people, by the people. And we appreciate, you know, your contribution. Go to kboo.fm/donate now. Is that what it was? Or / donate? Or you can just go to kboo.fm and hit the big old donate button. We appreciate it. And back.
It's a very, very important thing that just talking about what we're talking about now, it shows the importance of having an informant.
Yeah,
so to speak, a place where you can get information, a resource of information. And just listening to this story and going over this story, a lot of this conflict would have been solved if these parents would have been informed.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, and it's understandable that you want something done on a larger scale, but it always starts at home.
Yeah.
And I'm a fond believer in that. And regardless to the result and the intention, I think that it should have been a first addressed at home, that what are you doing that you're allowing your child to possess material that you find offensive and not appropriate for your child? What are you doing?
Yeah, and I think that also just one thing to mention, that those times had a lot of crazy things happen, you know, like, oh, so like, personally, when I think 80s, I think of cocaine. It's the first thing that comes to mind, you know, and it's like, I wonder how much of it was like that crazy, because really in comparison to now, now is pretty nuts too, and I wonder how much of this is more of like a reflection of the older generation looking at the younger generation, be like, I don't get you, so I'm going to try to morally reform you through legislation. You know what I mean? It's like, where if you just picked up this album, maybe listened to it and just tried to understand where it comes from. Cause like, and I'm guilty of it. Like, I listen to like the modern day type of music and I'm like, I don't get this. What is this?
I honestly can tell you that I think that it's something on a higher level, because of the fact that, as you mentioned a few times, these were popular, high profile women who were attached to powerful men during a time where privilege was at its peak.
Yeah, that's also.
So when you talk about how this action got into play, you have to take into consideration we're talking about the 80s. And now, only now, what, two decades later, are we realizing how much garbage and nonsense was going on during that time that was hidden? So when we talk about, oh, well, they made a good decision on, you know, bringing this censorship and they did it. No, it's not. These women, I mean, like, I'm going to only go, I'm not going to repeat it verbatim because I can't remember it that well, but these women were privileged and able to sit home or whatever they were doing and, you know, just pick apart.
Yeah, it was Frank Zappa who called it something along the line of like a pet project or a pet hobby or something.
Yeah.
And also, you know, in this is just my little similarity when I was doing a research for the episode. And again, I'm not a historian. I just did a lot of research for the episode. In 1985, Back to the Future was the number one movie in America. So I think that maybe the nostalgia of the movie spoke to a larger generation of America, and like many people, most of them being parents and authority figures, were kind of like missing old America, you know, like the way, quote unquote, it used to be. And then when I was, you know, looking up just different quotes and the different members that were part of the PMRC, Candy Strout, who was a journalist and a spokesperson, when she debated Frank Zappa on TV, she was saying, and I'm quoting, "We were a family completely saturated in music. I remember one time one of my kids said, listen to the song, but don't listen to the lyrics, Mom. You won't like them. Sure enough, it was some explicit song. I think it was something by Prince. I kind of looked into the topic and interviewed a bunch of different people in the music world. I thought, wow, it's really changed since the days of the Beatles and Elvis."
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that answers your question right there.
You know, exactly.
I mean, like, it's you have to question.
And yet their parents,
how many
were saying, what is this stuff? What is this Beatles nonsense? What is this Elvis
stuff? Right. I mean, like, I had this discussion a few times, and my answer is this. When I was listening to music, I listened to music that was beyond me. I was listening to music that was probably 30 years older than me, 20 years older than me. So it was easy for me to feel the transition, and I never really had a time period that I was stuck to. I just liked music. But understanding that now and talking to a lot of the artists and a lot of creators and a lot of producers now who argue, well, you're not giving us a chance to show you what we can do. And it's not necessarily about people not giving up the music that they once loved and listened to. It's about the quality of that music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about the passion and the work that went into that music. It's not a manufactured thing. So when you equate censorship into something that's supposed to be natural, something that's supposed to be felt by the audience, by the people who follow it, you take away from it. You water it down. You filter it. It's not in its purest form. And when you think about the 80s and how, you know, we talked about rap and we talked about different music, and I mean, you can argue Purple Rain was one of Prince's strongest albums. And the reason why it was so strong, I mean, I had to listen to it, even though I didn't want to. And I had to watch the movie. So it was like Prince posters. It was just like a marketing explosion. So you couldn't help from it reaching everyone
because
it was so big.
Yeah.
So it would filter down to people who weren't supposed to have it. So you must have been trapped underneath a rock to not know that Prince, Purple Rain, it was a movie.
That's
a,
everybody
had a poster on the wall. I mean, I'm not sure. I think he had a doll. You know, it was maybe Prince cereal. Who knows?
That sounds delicious.
You know, it's purple too.
Of course.
It's purple.
It's also worth noting that at the time, the PMRC wasn't the only standalone group that was doing stuff like this. They're a part of a much, much larger crusade from the what they call, quote unquote, religious right aimed to purified America's mainstream. So that was something that, you know, that you also got to take into consideration. And the PMRC, they're also known as the Washington Wives. And in just a second, we're going to get a little bit more into it. But we are here for another pitch. And how's it going? I'm going to actually pay a little Purple Rain in the background. Because I really enjoy it. I just have a hankering for it now.
I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to confess this on a radio. And I mean, like, and no one, please don't take this personal. I've been accused in my younger days of having some sort of resemblance.
To Prince?
To Prince. I think it was just based upon the fact that we both have two eyes and we both have a nose.
I think maybe people should come check you out here at the station and see if you actually do look like Prince and have a Prince lookalike contest. KBOO.fm.
I don't recommend that.
You don't recommend it.
I do not approve of that.
Doesn't approve of it. But I personally do approve of you going over to KBOO.fm/give. There we go. That's what I meant to say. Or you can just go to kboo.fm and there's a big donate now button. Really appreciate it. All the monies that you send to us come back to us by via lights and working internet and water in the everywhere where it needs to be and not where it doesn't need to be. And we really appreciate all of what you do. We appreciate all of what the staff does here as a volunteer. I'm just super happy to be part of a team that respects me and gives me a place to have my voice heard. And you can have your voice heard, whether it's coming here and volunteering, gaining experience with audio stuff and talking to other community members. And you can also keep us afloat by going to kboo.fm/give. We really appreciate the support. We love being here. And we love you. I'm just going to say that. I know we aren't there yet, but I really do. I enjoy it. My name is Tammy. You listen to Popular Education. We are here every second, third Thursday. Every first Thursday is Michael B's show. And we really love it. And it wouldn't be made possible if it wasn't for your lovely, fantastic donations. You can go to kboo.fm/give. You know, put down $5, $10, $1,000, I bet you can, if you're able to. That would be fantastic. But other than that, we are here at the studio talking about the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Center, also known as the Washington Wives. The women who founded the PMRC are a wife of a senator, or later known as Vice President Al Gore. His wife's name is Tipper Gore. Susan Baker, the wife of Treasury Secretary James Baker, Pam Howard, the wife of Washington retailer Rahman Howard, and Sally Nauvius, wife of former Washington City Council Chairman John Nauvius. At its height, the committee held 22 members. However, the committee lacked any kind of scientific backings to their claims. They had a lot of suggestions, however, on how to combat the quote-unquote evils of popular music and rock music at the time. Mike, I'm just going to go ahead and paint this picture for you right now. Some of the items that included were printing warnings and lyrics on album covers, forcing record stores to put album covers with explicit covers under the counters, pressuring television stations not to broadcast explicit songs or videos, reassessing the contracts with musicians who perform violently or sexually in concert, and creating a panel to discuss industry standards. They also suggested a content-based rating system, giving X for profanity or sexual explicit lyrics, O for occult references, I'm not even kidding, or D/A for lyrics about drugs and alcohol, and V for violent content. That is a lot, and I also just want to mention that this is a supposed non-government entity, a civilian group, so really what it is that they had these quote-unquote options, and they wanted the industry to just adhere to their suggestions, but willingly, voluntarily adhere, or else.
Once again, I'm going to point to the fact that privilege and I guess status played a large role in that, as you pointed out a few times, that these people these group members were also partners or attached to or related to Congress people and people in office. And part of the reason why I believe that their opinions and their inquiries were even taken into consideration based on the fact that they were in that position of being attached to people who are politicians and Congress people and all those things and things of that nature. I don't believe that unless it was something like that, if it wasn't because of their privilege.
Yeah, I mean, they got a Senate committee hearing pretty easily, where I think there are a lot of activists will agree that that's something that's pretty hard to do. So yeah, there's definitely the matter of privilege that went into it. And I think that it's not so much a privilege, just the fact that they used it for evil. Like, it's like, why would you do this? But there is definitely I can understand just in a sense of being scared for your children and all that, but Dee Snider, who was the lead man for Twisted Sister, said it best. He said, I'm a parent too. And I totally, and the only thing that you're right about is that, yeah, parents should have control of what their kids listen to. And that's why I listen to and make sure I know what my kids are listening to. So it was, I mean, the whole trial itself, and I have some clips from it, the whole trial itself just ended up being kind of a mockery, but not a mockery. It just made the PMRC look stupid. But the problem with that is that it didn't do anything. They still won.
It was a baseless attack.
It was a baseless attack, but nothing came out of it. You know, like, they didn't remove the explicit lyrics. You know, we still have content advisory stickers on anything. You know, like, we still have, there's still content, there's still rating. And the group of moral crusaders use a lot of scare tactics and unfounded statistics, like how, quote-unquote, teen pregnancies and teenage suicide rates are at epidemic proportions at this time, and end quote. And that they say that in every, they say that in our time. They said that in the '60s. They said that in the '50s.
This is in reference to the music.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Causes, that this is what's causing. Yeah.
This, so there's always something other than proper parental guidance.
Yeah, it's always something
that
else.
Causes a teenager to do things. It's always something else, and you know.
But it's not. It wasn't. You know. It wasn't
the case anyway. It wasn't the case.
The kind of claims. Those are the kind of claims that they that were meant to prove that popular and rock music were ruining society. And so to on this day in history in 1985, the Committee of quote-unquote Washington Wives used their connections to secure a Senate hearing about the matter. And so the actual thing that they were contesting were the subject of the content of certain sound recordings and suggestions that recording packages be labeled to provide a warning to prospective purchasers of sexual explicit or other potential offensive content, end quote. So that
Go.
Is, so that is,
Go.
Yes. Yeah, so that is pretty specific. And again, just to know that it was a civilian group that brought this to a Senate hearing, obviously they used their contact and, you know, as you mentioned, their privilege to do that, to infringe what their, you know, their moral philosophies on something new, something that
I mean,
was,
just imagine the 80s.
Yeah.
Where everything basically 70%, probably higher, of your television content, what you watch on television, what you listen to on the radio was pretty much force fed to you.
Yeah, it was like the height of much, consumerism.
Yeah,
MTV was at its prime.
It was that media engine.
Yeah.
That machine
was pumping at its
highest.
So I can see how, you know, trying to regulate it, something, you know,
oh, of course,
trying to tame a machine, tame the beast that you don't know. So the co-founder of the PMRC, Susan Baker, began her testimony during the committee hearing, the Senate committee hearing, by saying, quote, "We decided that we would get together and get everyone on our address list and have a meeting and show them what we were upset about. Most of us didn't have a clue what was going on. That's how it started. Now, we had no idea that we were going to start an organization. We were just mad mamas who wanted our friends and particularly educators to know what kind of trash our kids were buying. We felt we needed to do something in the form of product labeling." That's what they felt like.
So putting all of these warnings and all of these diversions and all of this misinformation on the packaging was a way of them
warning. Which is, you know, with Purple Rain, it's like, okay, it's if you don't, you've seen what the movie's like, obviously don't get your 10-year-old, you know, it's not going to be appropriate, at least not in my opinion. If you get something like Black Sabbath or something, you know, you see an album and it's of, you know, something that is obviously meant to invoke some sort of feeling of, I mean, you see, like, you know, characters like Ozzy Osbourne or something, like crawling, like these things
are
hilarious.
Yeah, I know where you're going, because
they're hilarious.
I'm thinking,
supposed to be, you know.
I mean, even like album covers and stuff like that. I mean, like, even the marketing,
you know,
and you kind of, I mean, for me, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to look at my 10-year-old and I'm going to be like, no,
yeah,
I don't think this is for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just because you have an album that's called Master of Puppets, you know, doesn't, just because the word puppet is in it, doesn't necessarily mean that your 3-year-old should be listening.
And
to
I mean,
it.
The argument before was a lot of the marketing was geared toward children by putting animation and colors and, you know, things like that. I never seen that during, like, all of these attacks.
Hmm.
And that's what I mean by, like, the album covers were pretty graphic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
look, the cartoons during that time, they were so graphic. Cartoons from the '80s, they were like.
And then the flip side to that all is, I mean, who is selling a 10-year-old Purple Rain album? I mean, like, I mean, there wasn't no checkout during that time.
And there wasn't a self-checkout.
There wasn't no Amazon,
that's
so you
true.
couldn't order online. You had to literally go up to a register. I was there, I know. And I was there in the 80s. You had to go to a register and actually look at a human being and purchase something.
Actually, you had to look at a 10-year-old's eye and say, I'm going to give you this Darling Nikki album.
Yeah, so somebody leaned over and said, yeah. Yeah. I can see you. You definitely need
you
to
need
bathe
this.
In
is
some.
What you, need.
You need to bathe in some purple rain.
I know we just keep mentioning it, but pretty much that's what you're gonna get here on KBOO Community Radio. You're gonna get the history of how Prince pretty much created modern day parental advisory warning stickers on albums.
He
pretty
was
much
the,
it.
He was the pioneer of a
the
lot
pioneer.
Of different things.
Oh,
he
yeah.
pioneered a lot, and a I bet lot. You. I do you think Tipper is listening to Purple Rain anytime during her life?
At this point, that must be Tipper's favorite song. Maybe Tipper would actually donate to KBOO.
I'm gonna search YouTube and see if I can find something with Purple Rain and Tipper. Maybe she's dancing to it or something. I don't know.
We would love if you donated to KBOO Community Radio on kboo.fm/give, where you can get all the programs that you otherwise wouldn't get on the mainstream media, because it is people power, volunteer power. We aren't here for the money. We don't do it for the money. We do it for the fun.
I mean, and honestly, I'll tell you this much. Check it out. We were talking about donating and all. They have merch.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean,
right.
Awesome
Look
merch.
At me.
If you feel funny about donating, you don't have to donate.
You
buy
get
this awesome merch.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's T-shirts, hoodies, beanie cap. I mean, you know, stickers. Yeah, I got to say beanie because you told me it's a beanie.
No, I would say just like in the 80s, know your crowd.
You know, I'm over here on the West Coast, so I gotta know the lingo. Know your area.
Yeah, know your area. Yeah. And you can go to kboo.fm/give. Like you said, beanie caps or just beanies, hoodies, yeah. shirts.
T-shirts,
and
I mean, like people, they're even
oh,
friendly to the yeah tote bags. They
oh.
even you know,
oh Democracy Now! Shirt,
environmentally
I see over there.
Environmentally conscious. They yeah. they have tote bags. It's a lot of great
I love
things.
Me a good tote bag.
It's a wonderful place to find. You know, you want to donate and you want to help out and you want to continue to support a radio station that's doing a lot for the community and offering a voice. And I mean, Tammy. She talks about us meeting here. Yeah, we met here.
It's
I was
true.
I
it's true.
I definitely appreciate what KBOO has done for me as far as helping me reach out and reach my talents and find different areas where I can excel and do things that are community based. Mm-hmm. I talk about the traffic laws in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about the casualties. I talk about a lot of things that are pedestrian related because I'm interested in people and it's not a marketing scheme. We don't have a corporation that suggests what we talk about and make plans for what we should say. We are people, regular people who live in a community. We live here, we work here, we go to school here.
And we volunteer here.
And we volunteer.
Yeah, and we would love to have you support that or come here and be part of the volunteer, you know, program, kboo.fm/give. You are listening to me, Tammy, and Michael B.
Yeah.
On Popular Education. We're talking about the, is it censorship? The censorship of the PMRC, also known as the Washington Wives. We were asking ourselves initially, all sorts of different questions, like, was this actually a legitimate concern? Was this a form of censorship?
Okay, can I play devil's advocate for
sure.
a second? I mean, like, we was bashing these people who actually formed a committee, and they were passionate about an idea, and they actually went through the trouble of
the trouble. It was like a two. It literally, they say we got everyone in our address list. We got everyone in our address list. You know, if I got everyone in my address list, you know what we'd be able to accomplish?
Well, I mean, like, I mean, these are rich. These are rich, privileged types, and they have a circle. They have their own circle of people who support them. Now, I just, like I said, I want to play the other side and say that these people were passionate enough to bring this to the attention that they felt that. This was initially about the children. This was about the children and trying to make it right and safe for children to enjoy the same music or whatever, having a safe place for children. Yeah.
I
look at that in and I say, okay, is that so wrong to say that at least if you're going to have a product, at least let us know what's in it?
No, I agree with you, but no one can say it better than, I'm trying to think, who was it that said it? I think it was this lively fella right here. I just want to see if we have enough time for this nice little clip. You know what? I'm just going to play it. This is from a good friend of mine, Frank Zappa, where he discusses exactly what this type of policy would mean.
First thing I would like to do, because I know there is some foreign press involved here, and they might not understand what the issue is about. One of the things the issue is about is the First Amendment to the Constitution. And it's short, and I'd like to read it so they will understand. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's for reference. These are my personal observations and opinions. I speak on behalf of no group or professional organization. The PMRC proposal is an ill-conceived piece of nonsense which fails to deliver any real benefits to children, infringes the civil liberties of people who are not children, and promises to keep the courts busy for years dealing with the interpretational and enforcemental problems inherent in the proposal's design. It is my understanding that, in law, First Amendment issues are decided with a preference for the least restrictive alternative. In this context, the PMRC demands are the equivalent of treating dandruff by decapitation. No one has forced Mrs. Baker or Mrs. Gore to bring Prince or Sheena Easton into their homes. Thanks to the Constitution, they are free to buy other forms of music for their children. Apparently, they insist on purchasing the works of contemporary recording artists in order to support a personal illusion of aerobic sophistication. Ladies, please be advised, the $8.98 purchase price does not entitle you to a kiss on the foot from the composer or performer in exchange for a spin on the family Victrola. Taken as a whole, the complete list of PMRC demands reads like an instruction manual for some sinister kind of toilet training program to housebreak all composers and performers because of the lyrics of a few. Ladies, how dare you? The ladies' shame must be shared by the bosses of the major labels who, through the RIAA, chose to bargain away the rights of composers, performers, and retailers in order to pass HR 2911, the blank tape tax, a private tax levied by an industry on consumers for the benefit of a select group within that industry. Is this a consumer issue? You bet it is. The major record labels need to have HR 2911 whiz through a few committees before anybody smells a rat. One of them is chaired by Senator Thurman. Is it a coincidence that Mrs. Thurman is affiliated with the PMRC? I can't say she's a member because the PMRC has no members. Their secretary told me on the phone last Friday that the PMRC has no members, only founders. I asked how many other DC wives are non-members of an organization that raises money by mail, has a tax-exempt status, and seems intent on running the Constitution of the United States through the family paper shredder. I asked her if it was a cult. Finally, she said she couldn't give me an answer and that she had to call their lawyer. While the wife of the Secretary of Treasury recites, "Gonna drive my love inside you," and Senator Gore's wife talks about bondage and oral sex at gunpoint on the CBS Evening News, people in high places work on a tax bill that is so ridiculous, the only way to sneak it through is to keep the public's mind on something else. Porn rock. Is the basic issue morality? Is it mental health? Is it an issue at all? The PMRC has created a lot of confusion with improper comparisons between song lyrics, videos, record packaging, radio broadcasting, and live performances. These are all different mediums, and the people who work in them have a right to conduct their business without trade restraining legislation whipped up like an instant pudding by the wives of Big Brother. Is it proper that the husband of a PMRC non-member founder person sits on any committee considering business pertaining to the blank tape tax or his wife's lobbying organization? Can any committee thus constituted find facts in a fair and unbiased manner? This committee has three that we know about, Senator Danforth, Senator Packwood, and Senator Gore. For some reason, they seem to feel there is no conflict of interest involved. Children in the vulnerable age bracket have a natural love for music. If, as a parent, you believe they should be exposed to something more uplifting than sugar walls, support music appreciation programs in schools. Why haven't you considered your child's need for consumer information? Music appreciation costs very little compared to sports expenditures. Your children have a right to know that something besides pop music exists. It is unfortunate that the PMRC would rather dispense governmentally sanitized heavy metal music than something more uplifting. Is this an indication of PMRC's personal taste, or just another manifestation of the low priority this administration has placed on education for the arts in America? The answer, of course, is neither. You can't distract people from thinking about an unfair tax by talking about music appreciation. For that, you need sex, and lots of it. The establishment of a rating system, voluntary or otherwise, opens the door to an endless parade of moral quality control programs based on things certain Christians don't like. What if the next bunch of Washington wives demands a large yellow J on all material written or performed by Jews in order to save helpless children from exposure to concealed Zionist doctrine? Record ratings are frequently compared to film ratings. Apart from the quantitative difference, there is another that is more important. People who act in films are hired to pretend. No matter how the film is rated, it won't hurt them personally. Since many musicians write and perform their own material and stand by it as their art, whether you like it or not, an imposed rating will stigmatize them as individuals. How long before composers and performers are told to wear a festive little PMRC armband with their scarlet letter on it? Bad facts make bad law, and people who write bad laws are, in my opinion, more dangerous than songwriters who celebrate sexuality, freedom of speech, freedom of religious thought, and the right to due process for composers, performers, and retailers are in peril.
Thank you so much, Frank. That was my good friend Frank Zappa during his Senate hearing against the Washington Wives, or the PMRC. That was the pretty much a decision in which the RIAA, which is the Recording Industry Association of America, decided to put warning labels encouraging people to be more mindful of the content that is in their albums. However, Frank Zappa just explained that that was not the case, and that it was more a matter of a bunch of Washington wives just getting a little angry and wanting to censor.
I think Frank really laid it down.
He did.
Man.
He did.
I think, I mean, did he really tell him how he felt? I don't know if he really was clear on his stance on how he thought that this whole presentation that they brought to attention. I don't think he was really clear on his feelings.
Yeah, the way that he described everything was pretty spot on. And also the comparison between them, you know, because you say you have movie labels, so why wouldn't you have music labels? Well, he explained that and why that's just not a possible or viable way for an artist to be able to make music, because then they get penalized basically for having a specific kind of character or for having, quote unquote, the wrong kind of moral standing.
And once again, he did point out the fact that these individuals were very much privileged in that opportunity. They used their opportunity in a position of privilege to get the complaint in order.
Yeah. And so that was pretty awesome to hear from my good friend Frank Zappa. You might know him from his musical career, also being a bad man. Taking them to court.
I'm gonna make sure that I'm gonna get you.
Exactly, yeah. And he got done. Got him. You're listening to me, Tammy, and Michael B. Here on Popular Education on KBOO Community Radio. I just had to play Purple Rain because they kept mentioning it, and I just have it stuck in my head now. So you can listen to this as I tell you that you should totally donate to KBOO.fm. I'm actually going to turn that down so you can have your undivided attention, kboo.fm/give, where you can hear more programming about censorship or about news related that they don't want you to know, or you can listen to some urban music on Urban Funk, which is Michael B's show, as well as bluesgrass, anti-folk, folk, funky,
news,
awesome music at nighttime.
Fake radio, radio theater, movie reviews.
Everything. Everything. It's on KBOO, community radio, where it's by the people, for the people, and there's a very small staff. And that's pretty much what your money will go for, is towards staff, towards lights, towards internet, towards getting this gear to not break. I mean, not that it does break, because we have an awesome staff that makes sure everything is tip-top shape. So
we keep things together around here.
We
always need supplies. I
a
mean,
couple
like,
of dollars,
you know,
a couple of euros.
This is a radio station that provides so much to the community. The amount that that is given to the community and how much the radio station helps the community. I mean, people call in every day. They want their information told to the rest of the state and the city. I mean, like, this station provides so much. I think that it's worth giving back to the station, as the station always gives back to the community. It's just an ongoing thing.
Yes.
Definitely.
You give a little, you get a little. I gain so much from being here and being able to both do what I do here, which I really enjoy, but also being part of the larger community. Like Mike said, this is where I met Michael and other great, you know, just people from the community who taught me and I taught them. And Now it's time for you to maybe give back a little bit back to us. You know, maybe a couple of dollars, maybe $1,000. It doesn't matter.
So follow us.
I appreciate all of it.
Yeah.
You can follow us also. Yes, that is true. Popular Education Radio. That's the name on the Instagram. Popular Education Radio at gmail.com is a way that you can contact us. We always appreciate all the love and all of the positive comments that everyone always sends us. And it's a lot of support. If you feel inclined, so you can follow us, like I mentioned, give us a shout out. And we really love what we do. Any kind of final thoughts for you, Mike?
Final thought, I just wanted to reiterate something that I seen earlier in a post. And it's about sharing, and it's about liking, and we're here talking about community.
Aww.
So yeah, we share a lot. I mean, we invest a lot of our time, our effort. We do this research, and we bring you this information. It's not paid. We don't get paid to do this
stuff. I honestly,
so
I enjoy
just follow us and like us. Let us know that you appreciate what we.